You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dr. Jim Fetzer. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dave. I wish this were a more uplifting occasion.
Yeah, you are the editor of the book called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill to promote gun control, which was released for distribution in October of last year. It was suppressed. It was banned by Amazon.com less than a month later. And one of the contributors to that book was Dr. James Tracy down in Florida Atlantic University.
Yeah, I mean, the book was too hot to handle. Amazon banned it in less than a month. 425 pages, 13 contributors, including a half a dozen college professors, current or retired with PhDs, which is significant because that's a research degree, and other experts on the case, demonstrating conclusively that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no children there, and therefore no one for Adam Lanza to have shot, and that it was part of a two-day FEMA drill, where we even have the FEMA manual for the event rehearsal on the 13th of December, going live on the 14th. And Dave, would you believe there was so much confusion about the participants over the date that many donation sites for the survivors of the victims went up on the 13th. Even Adam Lanza's date of death was initially recorded in the Social Security Death Index as having occurred on the 13th, which makes his having shot 20 children and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable. This is simply stunning stuff, where the university has been absolutely derelict in not paying attention to the serious, even remarkable contributions made by one of their own professors, attempting to protect the public from an elaborate scam.
Now, what about Dr. James Tracy over at Florida Atlantic University? Can you tell the listeners a little bit about him and what he's been doing and his job and what happened?
Well, he has his PhD from the University of Iowa. He's in their School of Communication and Mass Media. His responsibilities include dealing with the media and conspiracy theory. So he was doing excellent work. He was among the first to notice there was something wrong with Sandy Hook because the medical examiner, Wayne Carver, had a very peculiar press conference, didn't know things he ought to have known, claiming to have done autopsies on the children, but didn't know how many were boys, how many were girls. He even remarked in passing that he hoped this and come crashing down on the people of Newtown. Well, I think we've reached a point where it has come crashing down, but what's happened too, Dave, unfortunately, is that Lenny and Veronique Posner, who claim to be the parents of Noah, one of these children, have been assailing James for having inquired of them whether they could substantiate their claims that Noah had died on the 14th of December, where James was following up on some obvious anomalies, including that not only was Noah reported to have died on 14 December 2012, but he was reported to have died again in Pakistan on 16 December 2014, and where a death certificate that Lenny gave to Kelly Watt, with whom he had had over 100 hours of conversation, who challenged him about his story again and again and again, turns out to have been a fabrication. In fact, we published it in the book on page 181. I'm looking at a copy right now, and among the obvious problems here are that there is no state number, no official file number for this death certificate, that the date of death is reported to have been at 11 a.m. when the calls began coming in at 9:30 in the morning, and where everything is supposed to have transpired in about 10 minutes. In fact, the wounds he suffered are not described either. It's done with multiple type fonts. Part of it appears to be Photoshop. This is a provable fabricated event, which led Tracy to take the measure of asking the Posners whether they could substantiate their claims, where Lenny, I believe, was alarmed that if the scam should become public, he might have to return the excess of $1 million that he and Veronique had received in donations from sympathetic but gullible Americans, and where they might even be prosecuted for fraud. So they turned this into an attack on Tracy, considering that the best defense was an offense, to attack the messenger, where Tracy had done absolutely nothing wrong. Indeed, in moral philosophy, his actions are technically technically known as acts of supererogation, which means he's gone above and beyond the call of duty. This is like the Marine who jumps on a hand grenade to save the other members of his squad. He wasn't required by ordinary constraints to undertake this effort, but he wanted to protect the public from scams, from being fleeced, from being taken to the cleaners. And because of his extraordinary acts, the university, undoubtedly under political pressure, has actually fired him from a tenured position. And Dave, get this, this is truly extraordinary. James shared with me the formal notification of intent to terminate, and the reasons that are specified in the letter do not indicate it was because of his Sandy Hook research, which indeed was the true reason, but claim it was because of his failure to file certain forms about his outside activities in a timely fashion. And I can tell you, after 35 years in higher education at the University of Virginia twice, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Kentucky, I spent the last nearly two decades of my career on the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota, I've never heard of a faculty member in jeopardy for losing a tenured position because of the failure to file forms in a timely manner. That's a kind of offense that would be dealt with by having him come into the dean's office, maybe having his knuckles wrapped with a ruler. If it were egregious, he might have a letter put in his file. But to take a tenured faculty member out of his position for failing to file forms is simply absurd. I expect that he is going to have a $10 million lawsuit against Florida Atlantic, whose name is going to be tarnished permanently by this action in violation of all of the canons of higher education. This was a blatant political act by the administration, where the technical reason they gave for his termination is, in fact, evidence of consciousness of guilt on their behalf. I mean, just consider the question of proportionality, where the punishment should fit the crime. He might have been required to write his name on a blackboard 100 times for failing to submit forms in a timely fashion, but to be taken out of a tenured position is preposterous.
Yeah, and I snickered there because of the example you used, but the fact of the matter is that Jim has a family, a young family to support, and they could give one hoot and a holler about that, it seems.
Well, that's absolutely right. He's married with several children, and he was in the process of remodeling his home. This came at a highly inopportune time, but it's a political pressure, and it's got to do with this massive gun control agenda that Obama's been pushing, where he even feigned tears at the press conference he held over the Sandy Hook event, where we have proven it was an elaborate hoax, and where, in fact, Eric Holder appears to have been instrumental in its arrangement. When Governor Dan Malloy gave a talk the day of the purported shooting, he said that he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to, that something like this might happen. There were only two alternatives as to what he could have meant: that he'd been warned that someone, perhaps demented, was going to come into a Connecticut public school and shoot it up, in which case he ought to have issued the alarm to all the school districts to enhance their security, which he did not do. Or alternatively, he had been told they were going to take an abandoned school, conduct a drill, and presented as a live event in order to promote a gun control agenda, which is exactly what happened. And when I looked into the matter, I discovered that the party by whom he had been spoken to appeared to have been the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, at the time, a well-known anti-gun zealot who met with him less than 2 weeks or slightly more before the events at Sandy Hook. I might also mention, by the way, that the 425 pages of the book just abounds with proof not only that the school had been closed and that it was a drill, but that others had even obtained verification from, believe it or not, officials in the Obama administration, where Paul Preston, who's a Los Angeles area former superintendent of schools, was so troubled by what he saw being reported from Sandy Hook, having supervised drills of this kind himself, that he reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, each of whom affirmed to him that it had been a drill, that no children had died, and that it was done to promote gun control. So you have the President of the United States speaking to the American people, faking tears, and some commentators have suggested it was with raw onions. Others say there's a Hollywood device that can cause you to weep out of an eye. It was obviously artificial, no syphilis that would normally accompany bona fide crying.
Right.
Where it was over an event that he himself knew was a fraud. So here you have fraudulent tears by a fraudulent president of the United States who
was
undermining the Constitution of the United States to deceive the American people over a fraudulent event. David's a disgrace.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. I'm sure that most people agree with you. Do you have any idea about the time frame of the lawsuit or any other particulars about it?
No. I do know he has legal counsel. And the case, in my opinion, is going to be very clear-cut. I would expect to serve as an expert witness, not only because of my work on Sandy Hook, but also because of the duration of my tenure in higher education. This is a complete and total disgrace, and it ought to have the American Association of University Professors up in arms about it. But I do not know how much we can count on even our own institutions that are supposed to safeguard freedom of speech and freedom of inquiry. I'll tell you, Dave, we're in a sad state in the United States when tenure, which was created to protect faculty from political pressure when they tackle complex and controversial cases, just like Sandy Hook, are fired for doing their job, in fact, going beyond the call of duty. So we have, on the one hand, books are being banned because they expose the hoax, professors are being fired, and presidents are lying to the American people straight to their face through television, and where I understand he'll be making a trip to Newtown to further advance his gun control agenda, which is simply fantastic in this day and age, because if, for example, we wind up in a war with Russia, which many members of his administration are attempting to provoke, the first effects will be Washington and New York will be taken out. We'll be living in a Jericho-style environment where communities are going to be unable to protect themselves from marauding gangs that are there to rape and loot and steal if they cannot defend themselves. I mean, just think about the irony of having a sign in your yard, gun-free zone. Any burglar or miscreant knows that if they invade your home, at least they're not going to be shot. And where if you issue an emergency call to the police, it takes on the average 20 minutes to respond. The mayhem takes place typically in the first 5 minutes. And therefore, if you can't defend yourself, you're going to suffer the consequences. And where Obama, I think, was also concerned because the book includes an appendix explaining that when guns are banned, crime goes up. And something else Obama is not telling us is that gun violence has been declining in the United States since the 1990s, where the death by firearm per 100,000 people of all ages in 1993 stood at 15.2, but by 2014 was down to 10.5. That's a 30% drop. But that also includes death from suicide. And when you look at homicide in 1993, it was 7 per 100,000. And in 2014, down to 3.5, nearly a 50% drop. So they're having to stage these events because there aren't that many honest-to-God real homicides. Gun violence is on the wane, so they're having to stage these fake events. And David, I've inventoried a whole host of them. Anyone who wants to check out my survey of the false flags during 2015, locate on YouTube, Truth versus News, New Year's Eve, false flags for 2015. You'll be astounded where, for example, one illustration, one minor point. We even discovered the Craigslist ad for extras to participate in the San Bernardino fake shooting. Just let me add, Dave, that if you go to James Tracy's blog site, memoryholeblog.com, if you scroll down the menu bar, there's a Memory Hole Fund donation site. And I would encourage anyone who wants to support Tracy, who's going to have exorbitant costs, to give that a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did hear that there might even be a GoFundMe page started up for him. So
terrific, Dave. Thanks for taking the time
Thank
to address this rather disturbing development.